الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يتلونه حق تلاوته أولئك يؤمنون به. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يتلون حق تلاوته أولئك يؤمنون به. آية من القرآن. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, الذين آتيناهم الكتاب, those people whom we have granted the book, يتلونه حق تلاوته, and they recite it the way it deserves to be recited, أولئك يؤمنون به, those are the ones who truly believe in it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating about his book that الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ, those people whom we have granted the book, whom we have given the book, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, they recite it, and they recite it the way it deserves to be recited, أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ, those are the ones who believe in the book. One time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually one time a group of Sahaba were sitting in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them was reciting the Qur'an, and the rest of them were gathered around the one reciting the Qur'an, and they were all listening. They were so entrenched in their listening to the recitation of the Qur'an, and they were doing it with such love, that all of a sudden the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came before them, and they didn't even notice him for a moment. Now, these people, these are the Sahaba, the ones who were so focused on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to follow him around everywhere he used to go. Their definition is based on their viewing him. So all of a sudden, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is standing before them, and then they realize, and the person who's reciting, he stops reciting right away. So after he stops reciting, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Well, what are you guys doing?" He says this to the Sahaba. And they said, "Well, we're listening to the Qur'an." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Glory be to Allah that my ummah is doing such a great deed that I was commanded to come and be with them." Meaning the people of my ummah are doing such a great deed that I was commanded to come and be with them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down and he too listened to the recitation of the Holy Qur'an. So from this narration, and I just roughly translated the narration, you learn a couple of very important things. First of all, it shows you what the Sahaba used to do, how they used to occupy themselves in their free time. Their lives was the Quran. If you read hadith after hadith after hadith, they didn't sit around and discuss famous questions about, well, what do you think this means and what do you think that means, and, you know, academic type, you know, issues. In fact, Ibn Abbas says, "Glory be to the Sahaba that they only asked 14 questions in their lives during their time, and Allah Subhanahu wa Taala related every single one of them in the Holy Quran." Right? Yasalunaka an as-sa'a, yasalunaka an al-ahilla, yasalunaka an al-shahr al-haram qitalun fi, etc. There's 14 or 13 places where Allah Subhanahu wa Taala relates the questions of the Sahaba, and then tells the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to give a particular answer. So Ibn Abbas even says that glory be to the Sahaba that they asked questions only so few times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has related all of the questions along with the answers in the Holy Quran. So this is one of the great qualities of the Sahaba. They were very, very tied into the Holy Quran. Now they used to recite the Quran day and night. This was their job. In fact, it comes in hadith that on the Day of Judgment, the Qur'an will act as an intercessor for the people who used to recite it, and what will it say? It will say, "O Allah, because of me, because this person was so entrenched in the recitation of me, he lost his sleep at night, or she lost his sleep at night. So, O Allah, protect him and grant him Jannah." Meaning the Qur'an itself will come as an intercessor on the Day of Judgment. And it will come in front of the people and say, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and say that, "I distracted him at night, I didn't let him sleep. He was so caught up in reading me that he couldn't sleep at night. he would just get out of bed. He was so excited to read me and spend time with me that now I'm becoming an intercessor for him on the Day of Judgment. In another hadith, in fact, in several other hadith, it comes that the Quran on the Day of Judgment will come, your recitation of the Quran on the Day of Judgment will come to you, assuming you've recited it properly, the way it deserves to be recited, will come to you as a beautiful young man. Right? As soon as you enter your grave, that man will come and stand beside you. And he will say to you, "Don't worry, I am the Quran that you used to recite all day. I will not leave your side. I promise you I will not leave your side until you are entered into Jannah. I won't leave your side for a moment until you enter Jannah. Don't worry, and it will begin to console you. Right now, the Munkar and Nakir, the two angels who ask the questions in the grave, they will come. After that, you will have no fear. I promise you I will not leave your side until I enter you into Jannah." And that Quran that you used to recite, if you used to recite it with truth and with regularity and with devotion and sincerity, that Quran will then act as an intercessor for you and will be one of the sources of your entering Jannah on the Day of Judgment. I mean, that's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So over and over and over again, there's this huge emphasis on the Holy Quran. And unfortunately, we don't emphasize it the way it deserves to be emphasized. There is such greatness in reading and reciting and listening and understanding the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to reflect on our own lives. And now, if you want, the thing is that there's two aspects to every deed. One aspect is you do the deed and you get a reward. Okay? That's one way of looking at deeds. So if you read Quran, you'll get X reward. Another aspect of a deed is it acts as a marker for where you're headed. Meaning this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the person tawfiq to come to the masjid regularly, so he must be one of the believers. You see what I'm saying? One thing is to go to the masjid regularly to become a true believer. Another thing is that you come to the masjid regularly, so you must be a believer. So deeds, they work both ways. They are sources of reward, but they're also signs. They're signs of where you're headed on the Day of Judgment. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended for you to have a beautiful intercessor, you will have such a deep love with the Quran that you won't be able to put it down. And there are people like that in the world. There are people who pick up the Quran and they can't wait to get it out of their hands. They just read it for a second and then go back to the internet, go back to the TV, go back to listening to their CDs, just get a little bit of the Quran out of the way. And there's other people that their hands are always on the Quran. And they're finishing everything else in their life in order to spend time with the Quran. So we have to reflect on our lives and see where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us and then make sincere dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran a true companion of ours. Now, one of my teachers used to say that if you want to know your connection to the dunya, if you want to truly judge your connection to the dunya, then look at the time that you spend with created things versus, dunyavi things versus akhira things. Things of the dunya versus things of the akhira. For example, if you look at your life and you wake up in the morning and you read the newspaper, and then you go to work and you're reading your favorite internet site, and then you come home and you're reading your favorite novel, and you do that every single day, without fail, then that shows that you're connected to the dunya. Because you're connected to the kalam of an-nas, the words of people. And so you spend your time connected to that. But if you are someone who spends time with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you spend time with the words of Allah, that means you're connected to the akhirah. So these are all signs for us. These are all signs for our reflection. That where do we spend our time and who do we spend our time with? Now on the Day of Judgment, or in fact once we get to our grave, there will be nobody there to protect us. So, all the friends that you have in the world here and all the people that make us feel good, so we hang around with one another and we make each other feel good, we back up one another, we help one another, we're there when somebody needs a ride or somebody needs something. On that day there'll be no helper. And that's going to be the most difficult day. That's the day when you'll be all alone in your grave and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the test will begin. So why not have this beautiful, handsome man come and promise to not leave your side until he puts you into Jannah, until he gets, through his intercession, puts you into Jannah. So that's the place of the Holy Quran. So we have to definitely spend time reading it. I mean, it's a joke. We want to spread the deen throughout the whole world. People spend their time, hours and hours and hours, you know, working on spreading the deen, and they're not even touched the Quran. That's not the Sahaba. The best of the spreaders of this deen, they devoted their day and night to the Holy Quran to such an extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded his messenger to go and see what his Sahaba were doing. Now, if you look at the words of that hadith that I related in the very beginning, the Prophet said, subhanAllah, that my ummah is doing something that has forced me to be commanded to visit them, meaning they were reading the Holy Quran. It could have been the other way. It could have been that the Prophet was sent to see his community because perhaps they were doing something wrong. That's why the Prophet was even more excited, because he didn't know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told him to go and visit the Sahaba. He didn't know what they were doing. What were they talking about? So a bit of fear also entered his heart. But then he came and he asked the Sahaba what they were doing, and they said, we were reciting the Quran. And then he said, subhanAllah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to come and see what you're doing because of the sincerity with which you're reciting the Holy Quran. So this is the central theme of our lives. We should rotate our lives around the Quran. We get up in the morning, we read the Quran. We're at work, we're thinking about the Quran. We come home, we should pick up the Quran. And when we wake up in the middle of the night, we should read the Quran in our tahajjud prayers. That's the true Muslim. We read everything except the Quran nowadays. When we decide to become Islamic, we pick up all the different books except for the Quran. It's a despicable state. Those are all written by people no matter what. No matter how you put it, no matter what book it is, it's still written by people. That's kalamun nas. It doesn't weigh anything against kalam Allah, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to spend time with the Quran, to develop a love with the Quran, and to make the Quran as one of our intercessors on the Day of Judgment.